Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Chof Aleph. We're on the very top line, Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. We're continuing to learn for the safety of all the Chayalim, for the Kochos HaBitachon, for the safe return of the hostages, for Refuah Shleima for all those in need, and for Nechama for all those that have suffered such terrible losses. Hashem Yirachem. Okay, we pick up on the very top line of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Continuing in our discussion of Zeh Nene V'Zeh Lo Choser, which we had a machlokis as to how we paskin when, for example, Reuven was sleeping in the courtyard of Shimon. Now, Shimon wasn't renting out this courtyard, but Reuven would have wanted to have rented and didn't have another place to go, and now was getting it for free. So this is called, he's benefiting Zeh Nene. However, Shimon is not losing anything. We're assuming that Reuven is not damaging or deteriorating the value in any way of the courtyard, so Shimon's not losing anything, and he wasn't renting it out, so it's not like he's missing out on the rent that he would have gotten. So what is the halacha? Zeh Nene is that lo choser. So shalachi Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda l'mari bar mar. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda sent to Mari bar mar the following question. Please, boy, my name is Rav Huna. Go, when you go up to Babel, go and ask Rav Huna, Hador b'chotzer chavero, shalomi daito, if you go and live in a chotzer, that it belongs to somebody else, but he doesn't know about it, meaning that he hasn't necessarily objected to it. Sarich lahalos lo sachar olo. So when Reuven goes and lives in the courtyard of Shimon, does he have to go and pay him rent or not? And we're dealing again with Reuven had a need for a rental, would have paid a rental if there was no other choice. But here he's staying in Shimon's place. Shimon was not renting this out to somebody else. And therefore, in this situation, it's a Zeh Nene, it was a Lochoser type of a scenario. And he said to go and ask, Mari Bar Mar should go and ask Rav Huna, what is the halach in this situation? Nope. He goes to ask Rav Huna, but Nebuch Rav Huna passed away. Adahachi, before he could actually get to Rav Huna to ask him this question, Noch Nafshed Rav Huna, Rav Huna passed away. So Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna's son Rabba knew what his father's opinion was, and he answered the question that Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda had asked Mari Bar Mar to go and ask Rav Huna. So Rav Huna's son Rabba says, Hachi Amar Abba Mari, this is what my father said, the right way one should always refer to their father is Abba Mari. I have a question over here, why he didn't call him Hareini Kaporas Mishkovo, which is the normal verbiage that's used. If somebody passed away, if a parent passed away during the first 12 months, we say Harini Kaporis Mishkovo. So my guess is that this actually took a while for him to get there, and Rav Huna had actually passed away more than a year ago. That's why he says Abba Mori, that my father, my master, said. Mishmei D'Rav. And Rav Huna had said it over in the name of Rav. Rav Huna was a star pupil of Rav. And he said, Eino tzarech lahalos lo schar. No, zeh nene v'zlo choser. You don't have to go and pay. You're potter from having to pay because after all, Shimon didn't lose anything. So what would you be paying? However, he then added a second halach, and he said that this is what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Vasocher bayis me Reuven, malasocher l'Shimon. If somebody rented an apartment from Reuven, he has to go and pay Shimon. What? Shimon, my avidite, what is Shimon doing over here? This person rented, Yankel rented the apartment from Reuven, why would he pay Shimon? So Gemara says, because Hachikomer, this is what the case was. Nimtza habayis shel Shimon, Reuven had somehow rented out something that didn't belong to Reuven, it actually belonged to Shimon. And maloschar. So this person, Yankel, who had rented from Reuven, has to actually go and pay Shimon the money because Reuven doesn't own this apartment, doesn't own this chotzer, and Shimon does, and he has to go and pay Shimon. The Rosh brings down that in this situation, you actually have to pay him whatever the cost that Shimon was charging and not what Reuven had charged him. So if Reuven had charged him less than what Shimon was charging, so you have to pay the charge that Shimon would have had because this is a situation of Zeh Nene, there's a chotzer, because here, Reuven told him it'd be X dollars of $100 for the night. And in fact, it's $200 for the night, according to Shimon. Now, Shimon could have rented it to somebody else, but now there was a person there, so he couldn't rent it to somebody else. So therefore, this Yankel, who had agreed to rent it for $100, actually has to pay Shimon the $200. He can't go and say, well, I wouldn't have rented it if I'd known it was $200. No, bottom line is that was the price, and therefore he has to pay that price. That's what the Rosh says. Now, this second statement that Rav Huna's son, Rabba, had said over in the name of his father, Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, seems to contradict the first statement, because this seems to be saying that it's a case of Zeh Nene v'Zeh Lo Choser. So therefore, the second case was, right now we have the Habamina, that actually Shimon wasn't renting it out to somebody else, so therefore it should be a Zeh Nene v'Zeh Lo Choser. So how come in the second case, Rav Huna said over the name of Rav that you do have to pay, and in the first case, he said, no, you don't have to pay. So Gemara says, because there are two different situations, as I already explained, had the kaimeliagra, had the low kaimeliagra. In the second scenario, Shimon was renting it out, so there would be a loss to Shimon, so this is a case of Zeh Nene v'Zeh Choser. In the first case, however, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that you don't have to go and pay, that's because Shimon was not planning on renting it out, and therefore that's a case of Zeh Nene v'Zeh Lo Choser, and that explains the difference between the two. Likewise, it bar nami, it was also said over, Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Omer Rav, Rabbi bar Avin, it said over the name of Rav. Others say it was, Amir lo Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Omer Rav Huna, and Mustama Rav Huna heard it from Rav. In any event, they had brought down these two cases and will have the same contradiction and the same answer. Hador b'chatzah chaveiro shelo midato. If Reuven is living in the courtyard in the apartment of Shimon without his das, in other words, he either doesn't know about it or he didn't complain about it, eino sarach lalos uschar. You don't have to go and pay because, again, as we'll ultimately say, Shimon wasn't planning on renting it out to somebody else, and there was no damage done to the apartment. It didn't depreciate in any way. So therefore, this is the case of Zer Nenev is a lochaser, and therefore, ain sarach lalos uschar. Reuven doesn't have to pay. However, Vasocher, bias with Bnei Ha'ir, but if you're going and renting an apartment from the townspeople, the Bnei Ha'ir, so Malas Chalabal, you have to go and pay the owner of the apartment. But isn't this the case of Zer Nenev Elo's Chaser? So it seems to be a contradiction. So first we ask Balam Mayavitayu, what are the Balam doing over here? The townspeople, what are they doing over here that you'd have to go and pay the Balam? So when it says, Hachikar, this is what we're talking about. Ninsulo Balam, Malam Chalabal, the townspeople said, yeah, you can stay over there. But they didn't realize that belonged to Shimon. And Shimon, therefore, as we'll see, is charging for that area, and therefore that's why it's a Zenenev, it's a Chaser, and ultimately have to pay. But now the Gemara says, Taiti, the two situations seem to be contradictory. They both seem to be Zenenev, it's a Lo Chaser. So we give the same answer that we gave before, Har the Kaima Loyagra. No, in the second case, Hasocha Bayis Mibbe Ha'ir, Malas Chayla Bala, because the Balaam were renting it out. Shimon was renting it out to other people, and therefore it's a case of Zenenev, it's a Chaser. So therefore you have to pay. And in the first case, Har the Lo Kaima Loyagra. There, in the first case, Shimon wasn't planning on renting it out to anybody else, so therefore cases there, Nenet, Vizel, Lo Chaser, and therefore the psak will be the name of Huna or the name of Rav, is that Zenene, Vizel, Chaser, you don't have to pay. We have another statement. The Rav Schor made in the name of Huna, Amar Rav, Hador Bechotzer Chaveiro Shalomi Daito. If Reuven's living in the field of Shimon without Shimon protesting, in Tzarech Lalos Luschar, then Shimon doesn't have to get paid because it's a case of Zenene, Vizel, Lo Chaser. And this is based upon, he says, Mishum Shinamar, that we have a pasuk from Yeshaya that says Ushiya Yukas Shoar, because it says that via not being inhabited, Ushiya, by being empty, Yukas Shoar, that will mean that the gate will get broken. What does this mean? So basically Rashi tells us two pshatim over here. The first one, he says, Achishamu Shiya Mechases Shar. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us, She'ein Bnei Adam, Bayis She'ein Bnei Adam Darimbo, if a house is unlived in it, nobody's in that house, so it's going to get destroyed. Behilkach, Zesha Amad Bo Haneyu. So therefore, if somebody goes and lives in your house, it won't get destroyed by the Shadim, as we'll see in a second. So therefore, you're actually benefiting Shimon, and that's why you don't have to pay. That's another reason why Rasharah said in the name of Rav, I'm a Rav, that you don't have to pay. Alternatively, Rashi gives a second shot, Lishnachrina, Bayis Shushu Shoy, a house that's empty, the Yochid Me'ein Adam, it's alone, without anybody in it, Yukashar, that house will fall apart. Mazikin Mechasasin also, the Shadim will come and damage it. And the Gemara continues and says, Amamar Baravashi, Lididi Chazilei, I myself saw such a house where the Shadim came and destroyed it, and it appeared to me like they were Umanagach, Ki Sora, it was like a shark. Torah is a shark, the Shin and Tuf interchangeable. It's like a shark came and was goring the house and destroying it. So that's the reason that Rav Schor Amar Rav Hun Amar Rav says, because the Shadim will come in an empty house and destroy it. Alternatively, a similar but not exactly the same shot is given by Rav Yosef. That's why it says again, not Amar Rav Yosef, it says Rav Yosef Amar. He doesn't necessarily disagree with the first shot, but he gives a second shot that says, Beisa Miyasva Yosef. Rashi explains, Bayis Shum Yushov, Bediras Bnei Adam, Yosef, that a house that is inhabited by people will be in existence. In other words, Yoshuvu Kiem, it will exist, it will stay, because the Fisha Dorim Misocha, because the people that are there, Rowan Mashut Sarach, they'll see that the plaster is coming off the wall, they'll see that the bathroom doesn't work, they'll see that the light fixture is broken. Umisakin also, and they'll have it repaired. So therefore, when Reuven goes and lives in Shimon's house, he's doing him a benefit by noticing what needs to be repaired and having the repairs done. So therefore, that's why you don't have to pay. That's why Reuven doesn't have to pay if Shimon wasn't planning on renting it out. So we have two explanations behind the din why you don't have to pay. Zenene v'zelochaser, in addition to that principle, we have either the Shadim won't destroy the house, or that an inhabitant living there will notice what's broken and will fix it. So therefore, Shimon's benefiting. Is there a nafkamina between these two reasons, the Shadim versus a person noticing that something's broken and will fix it? Might be nayu, there is a nafkamina. Ikebenayu, the nafkamina is to call mishtamesh bei bitzivei v'sivna. There is a difference, for example, if the owner of the house, Shimon, the owner of this yard, was actually using it, let's say, to store stuff in it. So he's not there on a daily basis. and he's not going to be there to notice what's wrong, what's broken, and will fix it. However, the Shadim won't come there because it's being used. So according to the reason that Rosh Chori gave, that it's because of the Shadim, so the Shadim won't be a problem in that situation because it's inhabited, and Shadim don't go to a place that's inhabited. They only like to go to places that are empty or uninhabited. So therefore, according to that reasoning, so no problem. The house won't be destroyed. You're not benefiting Shimon in that situation. But according to the reason that they'll see things that are wrong, they'll fix the light fixtures, they'll fix the bathroom, they'll fix the walls, the plaster. So in that situation, nobody's doing that. Nobody's really living there. So that concern would still apply. Okay. Maisa Shalya, how Gabra, there once was a man, Debana Apadna, he built his house, his palace. Apadna is usually a fancy house, a mansion. He built his palace over there, Akilkalta Diyasme. He built it on the Kilkalta of Yisomim, of orphans. Rashi explains that this is an Ashpa. He says the Targum of the words in Tehillim, Me'ashpos Yerim of Yon, is Akilkosa. So in any event, this dump, this garbage site that the Yasmin owned, a guy came along and cleared it and built his palace on it. So what's the halacha? He stole it from the orphans. So Agbe Rav Nachman la padne mine. So Rav Nachman took away this palace from this guy until he paid back the orphans for the taking over this piece of property that they own. Gemara says, so let us say lemo kesaver Rav Nachman. Let us assume therefore that Rav Nachman says hador bechatzar chaveru shalomi daito tzarich lalos uschar. So this seems to be a case of zeh nene v'zeh lo chaser, because the orphans were not using this area; it was a dump. So basically, this guy who built the palace over there, so he's benefiting from it, but the orphans weren't losing from it. It was a dump. So therefore, Rav Nachman seems to be holding that zeh nene v'zeh lo chaser, you're chayiv to pay against what we just said till now. So he says, no, the orphans were in fact getting benefit. Hahu meikara karminoi havu daribe. There were these karminoi. Rashi says either the name of a nation called the karminoim or kadmonoi. It means those that were there previously. Kadmonim ha'yu yoshunba. There were some squatters already on that land that were paying the orphans' rent. Umalim skali yisomim. Vavale kaimo liagra. And therefore, they were maintaining that land, albeit it was a dump, and they were using it. So therefore, the orphans were in fact losing, and it's a case of zeh nene v'zeh chaser. And therefore, by Yahavu Luyu Yasmi Dovimor, they were giving a small amount of money. They didn't build a palace on it, but they were using it as a garbage dump. So we're paying them the rights to use it as a garbage dump. So therefore, Rav Nachman said to this guy that built his palace over there, listen, you hurt the orphans. Amalei, Zil Paisinu Liyasmi, go and appease these orphans. In other words, make a deal with them that they'll be happier to give the property to you than to these Karmanoim that are already giving them money. So let's say the Karmanoim are giving them $100 a month, so you give them $200 a month for the rights to have that land, or buy the land outright for them for $1,000, and they'll be happy. And therefore, that's what he told them. However, lo ashkach, they said, nothing doing. We're not going to give them anything. We built our house there, and that's that. So therefore, Rav Nachman took matter into the law. Agbe Rav Nachman liapadni minate. So he basically took it from them, and he said, until you go and appease these orphans and pay them for the land that you stole from them, I'm giving them your house to live in. Okay. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ketzen mishalemis ma'ashenenis v'chule. We said in the Mishnah where the cow went and ate something in the Rishus HaRabim, so then if it was in the middle of the street, in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, so you have to go and compensate them, but you only pay them for the benefit that you had. And again, we had discussed either you pay them the lunch money that you would have had to pay for your cow, or you pay for the damage that they did at the cheapest price, the 2/3 of that price. That's when they ate in the middle of the street. However, if they ate on the side of the street, then you have to pay for the actual damage. So if they ate $100 worth of barley, you have to pay the $100 worth of barley. You can't say you pay for 2/3 of the price of barley, or you just pay for the $5 that it would have cost them for lunch, like we had explained a couple of days ago in the shir. Now, the Gemara says, this difference between the middle of the road and on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, so Amarav Ubim Machazeris, it's referring to when the animal had to turn its head, basically, as Rashi explains, Idira Maslo Ubim Machazeris, Rosha Merichava. The animal's walking in the middle of the road, and it turns its head to the side and go and eats from the side of the Rishus HaRabim, Letzida Shel Ruchava. So it's eating the food that was on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, V'yochla Peros. And it ate the fruit over there. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Ketani Masnisin, the Mishalemis Mashizik. In that situation, you have to pay the actual damages. Afogav the Kulikami Ruchav, even though it's all in the Rishus HaRabim, but it's on the side of the Rishus HaRabim where the animal normally doesn't travel. It normally travels in the middle. And therefore, when it turns its head to the side, so then you have to go and pay not the benefit that you got, but the damage that you caused. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel disagrees. Ushmuel Amar, Afilu Machazeres, Nami Potter. Shmuel says, Even in that situation, this is called eating from the Rishus HaRabim, and you only have to pay for the benefit that you got, either the lunch money or the two-thirds of the value, if you would have fed the animal that, if you could get it at two-thirds of the price. So therefore, that you have to pay what you got the benefit for, but you don't have to pay for the damages. Okay, now, so under what circumstances does Shmuel say, if it's not the Mechazeres case, so when does Shmuel say that by being on the side of the see the Rishus HaRabim that you do have to pay if it's not Mechazeres, like Rav said, so when we will say that you have to pay? So the Gemara says Kagon, according to Shmuel, the case would be the Shavkasa L'Rechava, it actually left the Rishus HaRabim, the Ozel V'Kamei B'Tzi the Rechava, and it went to the side of the Rishus HaRabim, not that it turned its head, but it went with its whole body to the side, and that's not normal, and therefore the person has the right to keep his food over there, because the animals normally don't go there. And now that the animal went there, so you have to go. This is like it was in the Rishus of the Nizak almost, and you have to pay what you damaged and not the benefit that you got. That's one way to answer this. Others say, no, this machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, wasn't going on the Mishnah. It was a separate machlokas on its own that they asked in the Beis Medrash, what's the halacha machazeris? If the animal turns from the middle of the Rishus HaRabim and eats from the side of the Rishus HaRabim, what's the halacha? So Rabbi Marchayevis, Shmuel Marmatura. As we just said, Rabbi says, that is a situation that's not normal, and therefore you have to go pay for the full damages that you caused. Where Shmuel says, no, that's normal eating of Shein, and you don't have to go pay. So according to Shmuel, when would you ever have the case in the Mishnah that you have to go pay Masha Hizika? If you're saying this isn't a case of Masha Hizika, when would you ever have, according to Shmuel, on the Tzidir Rishus HaRabim that you have to pay for what you damaged and not just the benefit that you got? So the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, we'd be dealing with a case Kigon Dishavka L'Rechava, that you actually went to the side, the Ozla V'Kama B'Tzidir Rechava, and you ate over there on the side. So you actually were on the side where the animals don't normally walk. That's a situation where he has a right to keep his food over there, and therefore you have to pay what you actually damaged and not just the benefit that you got. Okay, now the Gemara asks a question on Rav. Masa Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak asks on Rav. It says, "Mi Pesach Achonos." The Mishnah said, "If you go and eat from in front of the stores that are on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, Mishalemis Mashenenis, you have to go pay the benefit that you got." Now, what's the scenario? Hech Mishkaches Law. If you're going to tell me that it's dealing with the case of Bim Mechazeres, so Pshita Bim Mechazeres, of course, in that situation, you only pay for what you benefited. The Ka'amar, Mashinanis. So it means that you pay Mashinanis and not Mashahizik. Mashinanis in Mashahizik alone. So according to you, Rav, if you're turning from the middle of the road and going off to the side of the road, then you should have to pay the damages and not just the benefit that you got. You should have to pay Mashahizika and not just Mashinanis. So this is a situation, according to you, where it should have said Mashahizika, but it says Mashinanis, Kashon Rav. So when it says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak himself asked the question, who mosed la, and he gave the answer himself, who mafarik la. We're dealing over here, the kaima, the keren zovis. We're dealing here with a keren zovis. You can see in the diagram in Rashi, there's also a diagram in the art scroll that maybe is a little bit clearer, but I always like the diagrams for Rashi. Probably these diagrams were not actually written by Rashi, they were put in by a later editor, but they're still in the Gemara for many, many years, so I always like to use them if possible. But it's the same diagram really in the Rashi that we have and in the art scroll. And basically, the Rishus HaRabim was going along and then it narrowed. Imagine going from a four-lane highway to a two-lane highway. So it suddenly merges into just a two-lane highway, but the people that were keeping their food in their stores, so they're still keeping the food right in front of their store. But the animals that were previously walking in the middle of the road are now walking right next to the store. This is called a Karen's office. It means by the corner. In other words, it means that the animal didn't have a chance to move to the middle of the road. It was merging over, but it still stayed in its lane right now and was right by the store. And in this situation, you can't expect the animal not to go and eat what's right in front of the store. And therefore, you only have to pay ma shenanis, what it benefit from, either the lunch money or the two-thirds of the price, if you're willing to pay for that at the two-thirds price, rather than ma shehizik, the $100 of damage that it actually did by eating that barley. Okay. That's the first version that we have of this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Eger the Amri, others say no. In fact, the Mechazeres, in the case of the animal turning from the middle of the road and eating from the side of the road, kol yamo lo pligi d'chayevis. Everybody agrees. Shmuel agrees to Rav that you pay, in that situation, the full damages for what you actually, your animal ate, because you didn't have a right to go to the side of the road. Now, where did then Rav Shmuel argue? Ki plige, they're arguing b'machzemako mirishuso lushusarabim. They're arguing about a case where the person actually owned that area of the tzidei rishusarabim, but he had moved his border in. So imagine somebody had a fence right up to the rishusarabim road, and then he took down his fence and moved it in closer towards his house. He wanted it to be a little bit closer, the fence to his house, whatever the reason, but that area beyond the fence is still his private Rishus HaYachid. He didn't give it over as an easement to the Rishus HaRabim, but the Rishus HaRabim uses it. So he put his fruits in that area, and now an animal goes and eats the fruits in that area. So keep pleading. They're arguing about B'makza Mokom Rishus HaRishus HaRabim. So he is given over the rights, so to say, for people in the Rishus HaRabim to walk there by moving in his wall, but he still retains that as his own Rishus HaYachid. And this is where Rav and Shmuel argue. Amar Rav. Rav says, Lo shanu ela mechazeres. The only time Yechayev is in the case of mechazeres, when the animal moved from the middle of the road, its head to the side of the road, then Yechayev. Avol makzim okum rishusa l'rishusa rabim p'tura. But if the person had the right to have his animal go over there, so to say he had permission now to go over there, and there happened to be fruits over there, you can't expect the animal not to go over there and eat those fruits. And therefore, the owner of the animal is only Chayev ma she nanis and not ma she hizik. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel about Afilu Maksa Mokum Mirushus Lushus Rabim Chayev. He says, no, even in that situation, you're still Chayev. The owner of the cow would have to go and pay for what the cow damaged and not just the benefit that the cow got. So Gemara says, let us say that this machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel is actually machlokes tanoim. Lema bibor birushuso komifligi. They're actually arguing about a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel that we have on Daf Memtes, Omid Beis. And it says over there that, and we can see this in Rashi, Dibra Maskul Lema, Rabu Shmuel, Bechofer Bor Birushuso, Vihivkir Rishuso, Lo Hivkir Boro Komifliki. This machlokis with Pluks of the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, the Polyboli Kamon in Parashar Shinoga, Sapara, and Daphim Tesamides goes as follows, that you have a person that dug a bor in his private property, and then he was mafkir his private property, but he wasn't mafkir the bor. So this private property now belongs to the public, but he wasn't mafkir the bor. So the bar still belongs to him, but the area around it, it belongs to the public. So Rav Sovar, Rav holds Chayev, that in this situation, if somebody were to hurt themselves in the bar, so the owner of the bar would have to pay damages. And therefore, in our case, the behema that goes and eats over there is potter. Because the zesh is shotach shon perosa, because the person who put his paras over there, havale kimo bor, shim huchlecha behen behema chayiv. If the animal had slipped on the fruit there, the owner of the fruits, even though it was his property, would have to go pay because he's given the rights to walk over there. Shari hifkir rishuso. He's allowed people to walk over there. Hilkach lo haya lo lasses came. Therefore, he shouldn't have done so. So Rav holds like Rabbi Akiva. The Kaimalay Bamniach Zakad and Daf Lamid, we'll have this in a couple of days, in a week or two. So call him a Kalklam Rishus HaRabim. If you go and cause a problem in the Rishus HaRabim and it causes other people to be damaged there, Shiziko, so Chayav Shalom, you have to pay. But anybody that goes and picks it up is Zocha to it. So Rav says in this situation, like Rabbi Akiva, that since those fruits are in a place that he has the right to go with his cow, so therefore, when you eat them, you don't have to pay Masha Hizik, you only have to pay Masha Nanis. Whereas the opinion of Shmuel, Ushmuel Savar Potter, Rashi continues, Hilkach Behema Shachaloson Chayevis. In our case, if you go eat those fruits, you're chay, because Shari Bershus Osa, Bershus Harabim Nami Lohabi, Shein Zeder Chilucha. According to Rabbi Yishmuel, that bar still belongs to you. So these fruits still belong to you. That area is not an area that the animal has the right to go, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and according to Shmuel, you would be, in fact, chayev to go and pay. Now, let us say, lema bebor b'shusu komiflugi, Rav yomar patuk so bebor b'shusu chayev. In this situation, Rav says that you'd chayev, like Rabbi Akiva, for any damages that occur because it's your bar, whereas Shmuel yomar chayev, here Shmuel says that you're chayev to pay for the Masha Hizik, it's because Ksava Bor Bishus Apartheid, because he says, like Rabbi Yishmael, that no, that bor still belongs to that person, and therefore you don't have the right to go there with your animal now. So let us say that this machlok is Rabbi Shmuel, is actually the machlok of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael. So Rav is going to tell you, Omalach, Rav, Liolam, Emalach. Rav would say, actually, I hold like Rabbi Shmuel also, not only like Rabbi Akiva, and we turn to Chafal of Omid Beis. Alma Bor Bishus Apartheid. In fact, I hold like Rabbi Akiva, but I could also hold like Rabbi Yishmael. I could actually hold Ba'ar, Ba'alma, Birshuso Potter. I could hold like Rabbi Yishmael too. Vishaini Hocha. And why is the case of the fruit that we're talking about is different, Vishaini Hocha? Because the Omar, because the owner of the animal can say to the guy that owns the fruits, he can say to him, Lav kol kaminach, the mekarvis lula peirosach, lusha sarabim, umachayvis lula saroi. You can't go put this fruit out where my cow can go and eat it and expect me to pay you full damages. No, I only have to pay my shenanigans. And Shmuel could say the same thing. Shmuel Rabbi Yama, Bar Bishu Zechayim. I actually hold like Rabbi Shmuel, but I could also hold like Rabbi Akiva. Why in this situation do I say that you're potter? The Bishlama Bar, Ikalim Emer, Lavadaite. Because in regards to a bar, you can say, I didn't know that it was there. All of a sudden, I'm on it. However, Peros, in regards to the fruits, how can you say that he didn't see the fruits? The fruits are right there. That's why the animal went to it. He smelled it, he saw it, and the animal went to it. So therefore, that's why the two cases are different, and it actually has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. There's a separate machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, as we just outlined. The Gemara continues and says, "Leimo machazeres tanoihi." That machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about machzeres, according to the first understanding that we had, that there was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about machzeres. Let us say tanoihi. That's actually a machlokas tanoim, the Tanya, because as we learned in our Mishnah and the Brisa states, "Ochlo mitocha rechava." The Tanakama of our Mishnah, which was the only opinion we brought down in the Mishnah, the Brisa will bring down a second opinion. But right now, the Tanakama here of the Brisa is the same as the Mishnah. Says, "Ochlo mitocha rechava." If the cow went and ate from the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, so then Mishalem is Mashanana. So then you only have to pay for the benefit that it got, as we had said, either the lunch money or the two-thirds of the value of that item that you would have been willing to pay a bezol, the lower rate, the decreased price for the better quality product. So everybody agrees that if it's eating from the middle of the road, Shein Birishus HaRabim, so then Mishalem is Mashanenis. So that's definitely everybody agrees with. However, Mitzidei HaRechava, we have the question, and we'll see the Machlokas and the Brisa on the side of the Rechov, on the side of the Birishus HaRabim. So then the Tanakam in our Mishnah and in the Brisa, the only opinion of the Mishnah and the Tanakam in the Brisa says Mishalem is Mashi Ezekiel. Then you have to pay the full damages, which is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. They are the authors of our Mishnah, as well as the authors of the Tanakhama of the Brisa. So they hold that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is the case of Mechazeres, where you have, in fact, a chiyuv, that you have to go and pay Masha Hizika. Whereas Rav Yossi, Rav Elazar, Omrim, Ein Darko Lecho El Lahalich, they hold that, in fact, the typical animal doesn't eat at all while it's walking, and therefore they have to pay Masha Hizika. So Gemara asks the obvious question. This sounds an awful lot like the Tanakama. What are Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar adding over here, saying, Ein darko lecho lel halech? Rav Yossi, I know Tanakama. How is there any difference between Rav Yossi and the Tanakama? Now, the Gemara many times uses just one of the Tanoim, so it should have really said, Rav Yossi, the Rabbi Elazar, Hainu Tanakama. I don't know a rule. I'm not familiar why. Sometimes it will say both of them, and sometimes it just says Rav Yossi, when it really meant Rav Yossi and Rabbi Elazar. In any event, Rav Yossi and Rabbi Elazar are both saying exactly like the Tanakama. Now, what's the difference between them? In fact, the machlokas that we have between Rav and Shmuel, according to the first version, that Rav says, you're going to be chayiv, and Shmuel says, no, you're still going to be potter in that situation. That's the machlokas over here between the Tanakama of the Brisa, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and the second opinion in the Brisa, Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar. The Tanakama sovar machazeres nami mishali mashanenis, that according to the Tanakama, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, you only pay Masha Hezika if the animal actually goes over there to the side of the road and walks over there and eats over there. But if it's just Mechazeres, if it just turns its head in that direction, so then you don't have to go pay, like Shmuel had said. So the Tanakama, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, they hold like Shmuel. However, you have the opinion, Rav Yossi of our Mishalem is Masha Hezika. No, they say in the case of Mechazeres that you actually have to pay Masha Hezika, because Rav Yossi holds, as Rashi says, Koma Rav Yossi, Ein Darko Lahachsir Rosha Velecho El Lahalech, because it's not normal for it to go and turn its head and go eat from the side of the road, and therefore, when it goes and does that, that is damage. That's not considered eating normally, and therefore, that is considered damage, and you have to go and pay for Masha Hezika rather than Masha Nenis. So we want to suggest that this machlokas between Rav Shmuel is exactly a machlokas between the Tanakama in the Brisa, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, versus Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar. Where it says low. In fact, that's not correct. The Kuliyama, Machzeres, Ikirav, Ikishmuel. In fact, everybody holds either like Rav or like Shmuel in this situation. Now, Tosfos points out it doesn't literally mean that both Rav Meir, Yehuda, the Tanakama, and Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar, the second opinion, actually both could hold like Rav or like Shmuel, at least not according to both of the interpretations that we had of Rav. As Tosfos brings down over here, Ikirav Ikishmuel, Rav Yossi lo motzi sovar kishmuel. Rav Yossi actually can't fit to hold like Shmuel, to hold mechayev b'rishus harabim, because they are mechayev in rishus harabim and Shmuel is not. So therefore, what it means to say is, elo kolomar Ikirav d'choshev chatzir hanizak. Do they consider the side of the road to be like the chazir nizak, or Ikishmuel d'choshev le'rishus harabim, or that they hold like Shmuel that it's rishus harabim, but not in the terms of the psak din? So Afal Gadol Rav Yossi Ein Nafkusa. According to Rav Yossi, it doesn't make any difference whether you consider it, because he says in both situations it's chayiv. However, according to the second opinion that we had in Rashi, Lepirish Akuntris, they actually can hold both Meir Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar could either hold like Rav or they could hold like Shmuel, because according to the second opinion that we brought down from Rashi, Ikrav, if you want to say that they all of them hold like Rav, because the Choshev like Karen, they consider this a Tolda of Karen, or they could both hold Ikishmuel, the Choshev like Shane, they say that it's a Tolda of Shane, it is Shane, and therefore the rules are different for Karen than they are for Shane. So again, the bottom line is, we don't say that the machlokas between Rav Meir and Yehuda versus Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar lines up like Rav or Shmuel. In fact, they could both hold like Rav, all of them could hold like Rav, all of them could hold like Shmuel, again, as also says, to a certain extent. So then what are Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar actually arguing about if they're not arguing about machzeris? So v'hocha, they're arguing about the pasuk, v'chi yavarish sadeo kerim, v'shilaches b'iro, u'bi'er b'steacher, that famous pasuk that we brought down from Mishpatim many, many times so far in the Masechta. V'hocha b'bi'er b'steacher, konifligin. They're arguing about what is the status of this side of the Rishus HaRabim. Is it considered steacher, or is it not considered steacher? So Mar Sabar, according to the opinion of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, they say ubier b'steacher v'lo rishus harabim. As long as it's not a rishus harabim, then you're not going to be chayiv. However, according to the other opinion, the opinion of Rav Yossi Relazer, Mar Sabar, no. When it says ubier b'steacher, it means v'lo rishus hamasik. It means as long as you're not damaging in the rishus of the masik, so then you are obligated to pay, even if it's an area that is on the side of the rishus harabim. The only time you're not obligated to pay is if it's in your own field. If the masik has fruits in his own field that belong to someone else put in fruits in the masik's field, and then the masik's shor ate them, so then that's not called bi'er b'steacher, v'lo b'rishus hamasik. If it's not in the rishus of the masik, then it's called bi'er b'steacher. But if it's in the rishus of the masik, so then it's not called bi'er b'steacher. And that is the machlokes between the Tanakama, Rav Meir Yehuda, versus Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar. More questions is, it says, really? I need a pasik to tell me that if Yanko puts his fruits in my yard and my cow eats those fruits in my yard, I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm not obligated to pay that guy who gave him rights to put fruits in my yard and not expect my cow to eat it? So the Gemara says, again, the question is, b'rishus hamazik? I need a pasuk to tell me b'rishus hamazik? The guy can easily say, lema peiroch b'rishusi, my boy. Who said that you have the right to go and put your fruits in my field? It's my field. And therefore, if my animal eats stuff in my field, I'm not watching it not to eat stuff in my field. It can eat whatever it wants in my field. You went and put your fruits there. I can't be held responsible for that. No, we don't have a habamina to think that I should be responsible for that. And therefore, we wouldn't need a pasuk to go and explain. Well, bi'er b'steacher comes to exclude b'rishus hamazik. So then, according to this understanding, what then is the machlokas between Rav Meir Yehuda and Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar? It can't be this. So therefore, elo de ilfa, the machlokas is according to the previous discussions that we had with Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya. That's the machlokas. As Rashi points out, lav b'inyan echad, the Rav Hoshaya mayri b'kofetzes. We had the case of Rav Hoshaya with the animal jumping up and standing up on its hind legs, or jumping up. And in that situation, the heavy karen, that was an unusual type of damage. The Ilfa, ayri agabi chaverta, the chosh of shein. And Ilfa held in a different case that when it went on the back of the other animal to get the things from there, that was considered shein, that's considered normal or not. So this statement of Rav Hoshaya and Ilfa, that's in fact, whether you agree with them or not, that's the machlokas between Rav Meir Yehuda versus Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar. Okay. Again, a little bit complicated, but Baruch Hashem, hopefully it was clear. We go on to the next Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we had previously, parts of it at least, and we'll start now. Hakelev v'hagdi. If you have a dog or you have a gdi, a goat, shekoftzu merosh hagag. They jumped off from the attic onto the underlying area down below. Obviously, not a fatal type of a jump for them, something that they're expected and normally do. So let's say the roof over here is 5 feet above the ground. The dogs and the gedi jumped that 5 feet without any difficulty. So the shavru es ha-kelim, and they broke kelim that are in the area where they jumped off the roof onto this down area on the ground, and they broke kelim that are over there. They broke various utensils that may have been over there. So the din is mishalim nezik sholim mipnei shehem wadim. This is considered a tolda of regel. This isn't unusual. It's not a tolda of keren. This is considered regel. And therefore, regel, everybody's muad for regel. And since we're dealing here with an area where the guy had the right to go and put his kelim, it was his area, and the dog or the goat jumped off the rooftop onto this area and broke Caleb that the Nizak had the right to place over there. So the owner of the Caleb or the Gedi has to pay Nezek Sholem because they're considered a Muad from Tchilasan, and therefore you pay full damages. Now, this is the next part of the mission, the part that we had previously. HaKelev Shenotol Charora. You have a dog that took a piece of cake, a bizonos, and it grabbed it, and there was a coal attached to it. The Halach Legodish, and it went to a pile of grain. And when it ate the Charora, Ochal HaCharora over there, but the coal that was on the bottom of it lit up this pile of grain. Mehidlik HaGodish. So therefore, what's the halachic status over here? The dog took this piece of cake, it took this mizonos, this charara, this piece of mizonos, but it also took the coal, and it inadvertently lit a fire. So we had this previously. So we said, al ha-charara, mishalim nezer sholem. For the cake, that's considered shein birshus hanizak. So you have to go and pay full damages for that. He had no right to go there and take the cake. But the other damages that came because of the fire, so that's chati nezek tzoros. That's one of the ways that we explained this previously. Yalagodish Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. You only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. And again, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says that the Reisha of the Mishnah, we're talking about the dog or the goat that jumped from the rooftop into the surrounding area, the Rishus of the Nizak, and broke the Kalim over there. So Taimo de Kovtsu, the reason why we say in that situation it's a Tolda of Regel, because this is a usual type of activity. So we expect the dog and the goat to go and jump off. Implication being only because there they jumped off and it's expected that you're going to be chayiv as a told of regel. Hanoflu, but if they fell off the roof, that's not or chayu, then you would be potter. You wouldn't be obligated to pay. This would be an accident, an onsin, and for onsin you would be potter. So the Gemara starts off and says the reason why you're chayiv is because of the kotsu, but if it was an ones, if they just fell off the rooftop, then potter. The owner can't be expected to have protected them from falling off the roof, and therefore you're potter. Now, what do we see from here? Alma, the author of our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, says, Kesavar, even though Tchilasu Bipshia, that you didn't protect your animal from jumping off over there, you didn't put up a high enough fence that they can't jump off, so if they had jumped off, you would be held liable, but even though you didn't watch them carefully or put up a fence over there, if they didn't jump off, but they fell off, which is an onus, so for onus, Tchilasu Bipshia, that you didn't watch them properly, as Rashi says, the Boyal Asukia Daite, as Rashi says, that it would have been normal for them to jump off, and therefore you should have either restrained them in some way, tied them up in some way, or put up a bigger fence or wall that they couldn't jump off. So therefore, the Trila was Pepshia. But the bottom line is, the damage occurred because of an ones. In this situation, the Tana of Mishnah says, you're potter. Trila so Pepshia, but self of ones, you're potter. And to further support this, Tanya Yochel, we have a brisa that says Beferish the same thing. It says Vahagidi Shekovtsu Mirosh Hagak. If you have a goat that jumped off from the rooftop, Bishavas Kalim, it landed on the ground nearby. That was a Rishus of a Nizak, and it broke the Kalim that were over there. So Mishalim Nezek Shalom. This is a told of Regel. It's Muad Mitchilaso, and you have to pay full damages. The brisa continues, however, and says that Naflu, if the goat fell off the roof, then you're Pturin, because that's Onsin. So this works out great, according to what we just said. That works out great, according to that mandiyama. This is machlokis elsewhere. So in this situation, you should have watched the animal more carefully, but the bottom line is that it didn't jump off, it fell off. So tchiloso b'pshia, even though you were negligent at the beginning, but the bottom line was, it was an ones, so sofa b'ones, you're potter. That works out great, according to this mandiyama. The brisa supports that, which we just said. No, elo mandiyama chayiv, there's a machlokas about this. There is an opinion that says that you're chayiv in this situation. Tchiloso b'pshia, sofa b'ones, you're chayiv because tchiloso b'pshia. How are they going to understand this? So Gemara says, you know what? They're dealing kagon, the mekarve kalim legabi koso. We're talking about that the utensils were placed right up against the wall. So if the animal were to jump, there's no way it would land over there because it doesn't just fall right off. It jumps. So it's horizontally going to jump a certain distance. So any kalim that are right adjacent to the wall in the Rishus of the Nizak will definitely not be broken by an animal jumping. The kikovtsi bikvitsa, because if the animal, the goat or the dog, jumps off the rooftop, it's going to go horizontally a couple of feet, and then it will land on the ground. It goes at an arc, and therefore, anything that's right adjacent to the wall, those kalim would never be broken by it jumping. And not lo nofli alayu, there's no way it would jump on it, it could only fall on that. And therefore, if it falls on it, b'afilu tchilaso b'pshia leka. Then here, in this situation, even at the beginning, for the kalim that are right adjacent to the wall, there is no pshia at the beginning, because there's no way, even if you tied up the animal properly, that it would ever go and damage that which was right by the bottom of the wall. So therefore, this isn't a case of of Tchilasa B'Pshia. This is a case of onsen from start to finish. And therefore, that is why the Man D'Amu says that Tchilasa B'Pshia of itself would be honest, you'd be chayiv. Over here would say that you're potter. Furthermore, Omer Rav Zid Mishmei the Rav. Rav Zid said the name of Rav. Pa'am Mishafilu Noflu Namichayev. He says, in certain situations, though, you could actually have it that the animal fell off the rooftop and broke the kelim that are right adjacent to the wall, you would be chayev. Under what circumstances? Mishkachas lo bekosa ru'ua. This would be if the wall was a decrepit wall, if the wall was unstable, if the wall was likely to break. In that situation, you know what we would say? Rashi points out, Shemaka Gagru'ua, this wall on the top of the attic of the rooftop is already broken. It's already weak and rickety. Dafilu Lagabi Nafil Habibshia. And therefore, it's very likely the animal could be right up butting against the wall and push against it, and it collapses and the animal falls. So in that situation, it would be Tchilasa B'Pshia even there, and therefore you would be Chayiv. According to the opinion that says Tchilasa B'Pshia, B'Sof B'Yonis, you'd be Chayiv. Now, my nihu, what are we talking about? The boy lila suki adaita dinofli arche. You're telling me that you should be concerned that the animal might fall in that situation. No, bottom line is, sof, lo nifal arche. The wall, the brick, didn't fall down and cause the damage. Unapul inhu, it is the animal that fell down and caused the damage. So this is still a case of tchilaso bipshia, because the animal wasn't expected to fall, and you should have gone and protected it better. Sofa bionisu. And therefore, when you have a case here of tzchilas v'pshia v'sofa bionis, so in that situation, you would be chayiv. What does the other man, the Yomadu, who said tzchilas v'pshia v'sofa bionis, who says you're potter, what would they do in that situation? So Gemara says, lo tzricha b'kosel tzor. We're dealing over here with a very, very narrow wall. As Rashi tells us, b'kosel tzor, shemaika hagag tzor was very narrow, v'dochuk, and it's very difficult even for the goat or the dog to walk on such a wall. And when the owner left his dog or his goat up there, he should have been concerned and thought that even if the animal does jump on this wall, as they normally tend to do, therefore it is going to likely fall down and the animal will fall down. So therefore, this is actually a case of Tchilasa B'Pshia and Sofa B'Pshia. And therefore, that is why the Man D'Yoma says, Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sofa Bionis would say that you're chayiv in this situation. So everybody can learn this braisa, and therefore everybody can learn this braisa, whether you hold Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sofa Bionis is potter, or whether you hold it as chayiv. Tana Rabbanan, the braisa begins and says, Hakelev Agadisha Dilgu Mimata L'Mala. If the dog or the goat jumped from the bottom up, then Peturim, because that's not usual. Rashi points out in this situation that Minezek Shalem de potter. That they're only parted from Nezek Shalem, because this is in the case of Tolda of Regel, but it is a Tolda of Karen, and therefore they're Tam, they don't do this yet, haven't done this multiple times to make the Mu'ad, so therefore you're going to be Chayiv Nezek Shalem, Chatzi Nezek, and not Nezek Shalem. That's what it means, Peturin over here. However, if they're jumping from top to bottom, Elma Lamata, which is the Orche, that's the normal way that they jump Chayav, and then you'd be Chayiv Nezek Shalem as a Tolda of Regel. Person, Adam, or a tarnagol, a chicken, doesn't make any difference whether they're jumping up or down. Shadilga, when they jump, bein milamala lamata, bein milamata lamala chayavim. They're going to be chayav no matter what. And that is because Rashi points out in the Rumas, all the tarnagol, Adam, inami, lab, orche, likbots, milamata lamala chayav. Even though a person may not be normal to jump up or down, nevertheless, he's always chayav, the ein, the Adam, sad, Thomas. There is no concept of Thomas over here, Adam, muad, liolam, and therefore you pay full damages. By behema, they are not usual to jump from up from the ground. However, v'tarnagol, darko l'dalek, it is normal, and therefore, afilu milamata l'mala, even going from down to up, they're going to be chayev as a told of regal. We turn to Chof Bezom and Aleph. V'tanya, we learned in a braisa, hakelev agdisha, they'll go, if the dog and the goat, they jumped. There it says in the braisa, bei milamata l'mata, bei milamata l'mala, v'turin. Here we say that they're putter. So what's going on? We just said a moment ago that milamala Lamata, they're chayiv, and here it says that they're potter. So the Gemara says, Tirgumar Papa says, the ofik mefok, because in this situation they weren't going down in their normal way from the top to the bottom, and that's why they're going to be potter over here. And when it's, we'll see in a second, when it means potter, it means from a tolda of regel, it means that they're going to be chayiv still from a tolda of keren, chatzi nezek. Because normally, kalbo bezkira, vegadja besricha, as Rashi points out, the dog normally goes and climbs down slowly. It doesn't necessarily jump. So here, the dog did it b'skira, b'kvitza, and the goat did it b'sricha. So when we say the ofik mefach, it did it from the normal way that it does it, it did it in an abnormal way. The dog kalbo b'skira v'gadji b'sricha, as Rashi says, sheno etzi parnav. Normally the goat would jump, but here it dug its nails in and sort of said, like, walk down the wall. She'ein darko b'kach u'mishunim heim. So these are now mishunim, and therefore you're going to be chayev nezek, chatzi nezek, as a tolda of Karen, but you won't be chayev nezek shalim, as a tolda of regal. And that's what the Gemara now says. Then why are they called potter in this situation? It means potter means nezik shalim, v'chayavim ben chatzi nezik. They're going to be potter from the nezik shalim, but they're going to be chayav in the chatzi nezik of tolda of Karen for a tam. The break point, with this we conclude today's shir.